Welcome to the Fiber for Breakfast podcast, a series that discusses fiber as the critical infrastructure for today's growing broadband needs. Listen in as Gary Bolton, CEO and President of the Fiber Broadband Association, speaks with industry thought leaders and experts about connectivity issues and the impact on the remote workplace. I hope you enjoy today's discussion, which will start momentarily. And remember to subscribe and like this podcast on your favorite platform.
This week's Fiber for Breakfast brought to you by our platinum sponsor, Wesco.
Well, good morning, everyone, and welcome to the Fiber Broadband Association's Fiber for Breakfast. You know, we're now in our 12th episode of 2024. But before we kick off, I'd like to thank Wesco, the platinum sponsor of Fiber for Breakfast. You know, I'm in Berlin today at the Fiber to the Home Council's European Conference with 3,300 of my closest friends. You know, the atmosphere is very high energy with the excitement of fiber, which has been deployed to 70% of the homes and businesses across Europe with a target of soon reaching 100%. You know, I was encouraged to hear the head of the European Commission emphasize that fiber is critical infrastructure that will be instrumental for Europe's future advancements in things like quantum communications. You know, last Friday in Washington, the FCC increased the benchmark for the minimum broadband speeds to a whopping 100 by 20 megabits per second. At least they have an aspirational goal of a gigabit by half a gigabit. You know, it's very disappointing to see the FCC so far behind the other agencies such as Treasury and USDA or US that require a minimum of at least 100 meg symmetric, especially when 88% of our nation's operators are offering a gigabit or greater for services. This Thursday, the Senate will hold a hearing on spectrum and national security. The Fiber Broadband Association is hopeful in this hearing we will see some discussion of the need to find a pathway forward for ACP funding. The Affordable Connectivity Program will run out of funding in April. FBA's next regional Fiber Connect workshop will be held in Little Rock, Arkansas on Tuesday, April 16th. Registration for Little Rock continues to be on record pace, so please sign up today if you don't want to miss that one. So additional Little Rock will be in Deer Valley in June, Des Moines in September, and then we just added Calgary, so this will be our first Canadian event. We'll be in Calgary in October 8th, and Albuquerque in November, and of course our big giant Fiber Connect 2024 conference will be in Nashville, July 28 to 31. That brings us today's Fiber for Breakfast session with Coralette Hannon, the Director of Livable Communities, AARP, who's going to be discussing AARP's advocacy for affordable broadband and life after ACP. Last week on Fiber for Breakfast, our guests were Darren Dauphin and Mike Mazuraca from Baylink Networks, who discussed nearshore fiber. You know, every state has lakes and waterways that can be leveraged with nearshore fiber to get fiber to areas that need it most. So if you miss that, you can go to our website and watch the replay. In today's Fiber for Breakfast session, we're with Coralette Hannon, the Director of Livable Communities at AARP, who will be discussing AARP's advocacy for affordable broadband and life after ACP. Coralette is the Director of the Livable Communities team at AARP's Department of Government Affairs. Her team leads organizational advocacy in the areas of high-speed internet, housing, transportation, and utilities at the federal, state, and local levels. Prior to her current role, Coralette served as a government affairs director with responsibilities for AARP's state and local high-speed internet and transportation advocacy portfolios. Coralette started her career at AARP back in 1999 and has successfully led campaigns and communication strategies to influence public policy and business practices on behalf of the aging community. Coralette is a graduate of the University of Maryland with a BA in economics, and she has her law degree from Howard University and is a member of Virginia State Bar. She serves as AARP's representative on the Corporate Roundtable of the National Black Caucus of State Legislature and as a member of the advisory board for Next Century Cities. So welcome, Coralette, and for our audience, please type in your questions as we go. And with that, I will hand things over to Coralette.
Thank you, Gary, and thank you so much for including AARP in this important conversation about the Affordable Connectivity Program, but also for giving us an opportunity to share the advocacy work that we're doing generally in the high-speed internet space. So again, happy to be here and happy to walk through some important information with the participants in today's webinar. So for those of you who may not be familiar with AARP, we are the nation's largest nonprofit, nonpartisan organization that works on behalf of older adults to ensure that they have the ability to choose how they live as they age. And one of the priority areas for AARP in the work that we do across not only our advocacy work, but also within our programmatic offerings, is working on high-speed internet service. And so I just wanted to share a little bit about why internet service is important to AARP and is one of the pillars on which we work. And for several reasons, many of which you probably already are very familiar with, is that high-speed internet is no longer a luxury. It's actually an essential service. And if we did not know that before the pandemic hit a couple of years ago, over the course of the pandemic, it became more apparent how essential having a high-speed internet service in the home is for older adults and for the rest of our communities. And so a couple of other things I wanted to highlight for older adults. Isolation is a way that the internet is able to be effective for older adults. It's a way for them to have access to not only their friends and their external community, but also to healthcare providers and telehealth services. So again, just trying to underscore the importance of this service for older adults and why it's important for them to be able to have access to this service. And so there are three key factors that drive AARP's work. One is, in order for anyone to benefit from high-speed internet service, they actually have to have access to that service, and that comes through availability. So the work that the members of FBA provide is that the availability of service is available to those who live in communities, and importantly, to those who live in rural communities. The second area that AARP finds to be super important in this space is affordability. So if you have access to service, you also have to be able to afford it, because even if there is high-speed internet that can be connected to your home, if you're unable to afford it, then really it's almost like you don't have access to the service. So that's where the ACP program comes in. But again, I just wanted to draw the picture of the three pillars that are important for true access to this service. So the third area is digital literacy. So again, if you have access to the service in your home, you can afford the service in your home, then you also need to know how to use the service to get the maximum benefit out of the service. So those are the three areas where AARP focuses our efforts when it comes to high-speed internet. And so when it comes to the three areas that I spoke about on the previous slide, these are three key solutions that we are focused on at AARP. And the two that are highlighted on this slide are the areas where we are focusing much of our capacity in this space, because really there is so much work to be done in the high-speed internet space to ensure that everyone has access. So the first one, again, which is the purpose of this call primarily, is the Affordable Connectivity Program, which enables those who are qualified for the program to be able to afford it. The second area is going to be where the federal government has put resources into expanding high-speed internet infrastructure, and that's through the BEAD program. AARP is not heavily engaged in advocacy on the BEAD program, but we do recognize the importance of it, and we do lend our capacity to a certain extent to that space, but primarily we're focused on the ACP program. And then the final area on this slide, which is the Digital Equity Act. And I'll talk about that a little bit more a little later, but we know that each state is responsible for submitting a digital equity plan, which will outline basically how the state is going to expand access to not only devices, but also training for underserved communities. So again, these three areas go hand in hand. And so back to the ACP program, as I think one of the polls at the top of the webinar made very clear, is that there are 23 million households right now that are enrolled in the ACP program. And this, the data that AARP also likes to highlight is that 10 million of those households are actually headed by someone who's age 50 years of age or older. So that shows us how important the ACP program is for older adults who qualify for the program. And recently, AARP did our own survey to find out, you know, how the 50 plus population, what support level there is for ACP among the 50 plus population. And we found that 3/4 of the 50 plus actually support ACP funding. So these are the data and the points that we at AARP are making clear to federal government to ensure that this program continues on. I'm going to talk a little bit more about some additional research that we've done, but at the bottom of this slide, you'll see a link to 12 stories from personal stories from individuals that are taking advantage of the ACP program, where they talk about the benefits that the program has had for their daily lives and the challenges that they know they will experience should the ACP program go away. And then the image on this slide is a fact sheet that AARP is using in our visits with federal policymakers to make the case about the importance of the ACP program. So when it comes to data, I also wanted, for those of you who are on the call and also FBA members, here's some more data that you can use to, in your work, to make the case for continuing the ACP program. The FCC did a survey recently where they also generated very helpful information. I won't go through all of the details on this slide, and I included the link at the bottom of the page so that you can get more information about this survey as well. But I wanted to point out that 3/4 of those who responded to the FCC survey said that losing the ACP program would disrupt their service, making the change either they would either have to change the plan that they're currently on, or they would have to drop their internet service entirely. And we do not want to roll the clock back to where we have more folks who do not have access to the high-speed internet service that they need. So I would encourage you to take a look at the FCC data that has also been generated and use that in your conversations with policymakers to help reinforce why finding a way to extend the ACP program is critical. And so on this slide, I wanted to just talk for a minute about the work that we're doing beyond the Affordable Connectivity Program, which again, we know is critical, but other work that AARP is doing is in support of the Digital Equity Act that I mentioned earlier when I started speaking. So we have played an active role in assessing 56 of the digital equity plans that are being submitted around the country. 9 of those plans have been approved to date, and we expect, you know, others to be approved on a rolling basis. But one of the things I wanted to highlight for you is that in our assessment of the digital equity plans, we are finding that affordability is identified again as a top barrier for folks getting access to high-speed internet service. So again, we don't get to teaching folks how to use the service until we can actually ensure that they can afford the service. The other thing that I want to highlight is that AARP is working with the National Digital Inclusion Alliance to develop a digital equity implementation manual. So as these plans have been submitted, as they're being approved, we're going to need work, feet on the ground, actually, to ensure that the plans are implemented in the way that they are intended and to ensure that they actually benefit the populations that the Digital Equity Act is intended to benefit. So this manual, which we expect to be available in the next several weeks, will be available to the public. We would encourage you to keep an eye out for that and to utilize that in your work as well. And then I also wanted to flag some of the grassroots work that we're doing to get the word out about the potential wind down of the ACP program. We've held teletown halls in Maine, New York, and in Tennessee so far to provide another avenue for folks to get information about the ACP program and how they can potentially protect themselves should the program go away. And so I wanted to talk also then about what we're facing in terms of opportunities to support, to continue funding the ACP program. One is through legislation, which would be through passage of the Affordable Connectivity Program Extension Act. That's a bit of a tongue twister, but that would provide appropriations authority to provide funding to extend the ACP program. The second opportunity that's available for funding the program is through spectrum auction authority at the FCC to generate funding that could then be used to help support extension of the ACP program. program. Then the third option that's on the table is borrowing authority. So giving the FCC the ability to borrow money from the US Treasury and then come up with a way to actually pay that money back over a period of time, but that would also give the FCC enough money to extend the ACP program should they get that borrowing authority. So these are the three areas that AARP is focused on to attempt to get more funding for the ACP program to extend it for at least another year. And so I wanted to leave you, this is my last slide, with a call to action to support the advocacy that's happening across the country to extend the ACP program. So in any conversations that you have with your governors, your mayors, other local leaders, we urge you to stress the importance of the ACP program. We also encourage you, if you have any real people stories from your, from the folks that you serve, if you could highlight those personal stories, I think those get a lot of traction as well. I was in a meeting not long ago and we were trying to just brainstorm some additional ways that we could be supporting the outcry for additional ACP funding. And what we were told is that grassroots advocacy really could be a key to tipping the policymakers who are on the fence about ACP funding. So any real people stories, we would encourage you to capture those and to make policymakers aware of them. And then any way that you can urge Congress to fund the ACP program, we encourage you to take that action now.
When you think about the aging population and how they are the victims of, you know, the government yanking ACP out from under their feet, it's really sad. And, you know, if I, the few times I go to the doctor, you know, when you see elderly there in their walkers, you know what a huge lift it is. It's a whole day experience to go to a doctor appointment. And you can imagine what, if it's icy or any kind of, you know, inclement weather and trying to get. And so if with broadband, it's a game changer, right? It changes health outcomes by being able to have the opportunity to do telehealth and be able to have connectivity that they can be more accountable with wearable devices and so forth. I mean, can you talk a little bit of just about how important the internet is to the aging community?
Yes, I mean, I can even talk about it from a personal perspective. So I have a mother who is 86 years old. I also have a sister actually who has an illness that prevents her from leaving the home. So the two of them would not be able to stay at home if it were not for high-speed internet access in their home. So again, being able to access health services, again, over the COVID pandemic, my mother was able to access her hospital visits through virtual visits, as well as my sister was able to. Folks are able to comparison shop also having access to the internet. So instead of having to go to multiple stores to try to save money on groceries or other items that are needed, you can go online and comparison shop. You can also keep in contact with family and friends. I had mentioned isolation earlier. Excuse me, and we know that isolation can have deleterious health impacts on folks who do not have access to the outside world. So being able to access family and friends via the internet is also a big benefit by having high-speed internet service. So I think it's ways that we take for granted by having internet service that really are essential for older adults to be able to age in place in their own homes and communities and not have to move to an institutional setting because they just don't have access to the services and the people that they need. So it is a tremendous benefit for older adults.
You know, and ACP has been one of the most successful federal adoption programs there's ever been. And for it to run out before we even get the first foot of bead deployed is seems wrong. What so can you talk a little bit about, you know, how are we going to fund this? What's the right way forward?
Again, the three options that I listed on the slide, previous slide that I shared, are really, in our opinion, and from our conversations, are the three opportunities that are available. We know the appropriations route, really the deadline for that to be a viable option, I believe, is March the 22nd. So in lieu of that, there is a possibility that there might be spectrum auction funding that may be available. You had mentioned there's a hearing, I believe, tomorrow to talk more about the spectrum funding potential opportunity for ACP. So that could be an area there. We know that the funding typically goes primarily to Treasury, but the government has the option to earmark some of those funds for federal programs. So that's an option for ACP funding as well. And then the third would be borrowing authority by the FCC. So there is an opportunity for perhaps the FCC to be able to borrow enough money to extend the program and then utilize their authority to then pay that money back. But that also could be a way to extend the program. And I'd also just like to put a fine point on, if 23 million people are all of a sudden disconnected from the ACP program, trying to get them back onto whatever the newest program is going to be is going to take a lot of money and a lot of legwork. So it would be better on everyone around, we believe, if the funding would not lapse and the program would be able to continue until a long-term solution is identified.
So one of the one of our attendees had said, well, what is being done to have service providers recognize those who have ACP and provide an ongoing discount to continue, you know, like the plan? We have seen a little bit of that with some operators, you know, so putting the entire burden on the ISPs, what are your thoughts on that?
Honestly, I don't know that that is a long-term realistic solution. So the federal government doesn't have the authority to require companies to provide a benefit, an assistance benefit to customers. There are some companies that we know of that provide a low cost option that hopefully is affordable for folks that wouldn't put them into too much of a financial crisis. But really, we need the federal government to provide assistance for the majority of folks to be able to afford their assistance program. Now, we have heard of at least one carrier that in the month of May has guaranteed to their customers that they will make up the shortfall if by chance there is some money left in ACP in May, but there is a requirement to reduce the benefit for that month. But the company was quite frank with us that they could not afford to do that long term. It would really be for just the month of May. So I don't know what customers will do for assistance if this program goes away.
You know, one of the questions that came in is, what are some of the best practices for partnering with communities to ensure older Americans have devices and are digitally literate?
That actually is a great question. So two things I would say. I'd mentioned in the intro that AARP has 53 state offices. If I didn't say that, I apologize. So there is an opportunity to partner directly with AARP state offices to get information to customers, to share ways that they can learn how to use the internet, get assistance for the services that they have, and otherwise connect with older adults. AARP also has an affiliate organization that I would really like to highlight by the name of OATS. It stands for Older Adult Technology Services. Their forte and expertise is in digital literacy for older adults. They have curriculum that's in place that others can take advantage of to help teach older adults how to use the internet and to stay safe on the internet. They also partner with community organizations and have standalone a presence in some states as well. So I would encourage folks to look for Older Adult Technology Services, OATS from AARP, to get more information because they are a valuable partner that you could also be working with.
So how do you respond to the argument that I hear from some that say, hey, half of the people that are on ACP were already on the internet? I mean, what are your thoughts on that?
We get that comment as well. I would say, yes, some who were on it beforehand were struggling to pay for it and were, quite frankly, as the video we saw just a moment ago, were forgoing some other necessities in life if they felt that having the internet service in their home was that crucial for them. So that's one thing. We don't know what they're giving up that could also be harming them because they want to be able to afford their internet service. There are folks that have been able to get internet service. Some have been using their cell phones to get internet service because they just could not afford the fiber to the, you know, fiber service in their home. We know that it's limited access that you get by having to rely on your cell phone. So, or they may have been going to a library to get internet service. So we don't know the ways in which they were either sacrificing on personal needs to get that internet service or how they were getting the service beforehand.
You know, the Congress had sent a letter to the FCC last fall and said, hey, you know, you guys had 20.3 billion dollars appropriated for RDOF, the Rural Digital Opportunity Fund, and you only deployed six billion. So you should have, you know, 18 billion left over. And Jessica wrote back saying, well, we really never had any money because we have to collect that from USF anyway. Is that a weak argument? I mean, the FCC could fund this from whatever they're, you know, they were going to raise this through USAC anyway. While there is a USF reform going on, why wouldn't they just go ahead and just keep funding it? Or is this, they're just trying to make a political statement?
You know, that's a good question. Honestly, I don't have a really good answer to. But I will say this, I know that when folks talk about the Universal Service Fund and Lifeline in particular, and the Universal Service Fund being the way that we should rely on funding or providing assistance to consumers, we know that the way that the Lifeline program is currently funded is really creating a burden for those who still have traditional phone service. And so there's arguments to be made for expanding the contribution base that funding for assistance comes from. So I know there's a lot of arguments from a lot of people in air and corners of this industry about what the FCC could be doing more that they're not doing. In our conversations with them, it seems like they're doing the best that they can with the limited authority and resources that they have. And that really we're urging Congress to fund ACP as really the way that we believe for now assistance would be most beneficial for consumers.
I mean, the bottom line is ACP is the most successful adoption program that we've ever had. The people that are getting the money are low income, so they're definitely in need. I mean, you saw from the video, they're definitely in need. And pulling the rug out from them at this point, because this is a self-healing program, right? If we're able to take low-income people and have them access to the internet, they're able to improve their quality of life, be able to have more opportunities, they'll be able to then move out of the low income, so they will disqualify themselves, you know, kind of the hand up. And so government, the Congress should certainly fund this. I mean, I can't think of any reason. I mean, this is the whole reason that we have the whole BEAD program, is to get everybody connected and be able to raise the quality of life. So,
Coralette, right.
Really appreciate the efforts of AARP to really toe the line in this, because this is as important to you guys as it is to Fiber Broadband Association. So thank you very much. Really appreciate everything that you're doing and for sharing your thoughts on ACP with our audience. I'd like to thank everybody for joining us today, and look forward to getting back together. Next Wednesday, we're going to have Will Arbuckle, the man, the BABA, the Build America, Buy America guru, who's going to be on to talk about the newly released BABA waiver, so we can deep dive and ask him all the hard questions. So we'll see you guys next week with Will. Thanks a lot, Coralette, and really appreciate, hopefully in the hearing tomorrow, we'll talk about spectrum auction, providing some proceeds for ACP.